This is Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX. Brought to you by Memorial Health System. You have questions about your health, and Memorial Health System has the answers. Our phone lines are open at 753-1240. That's 753-1240. Now, Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX.
Well, hello, everyone. We meet again. It is time once again for Ask the Expert. I am your host, Ray Lytle, and I am joined this week by a return expert. She's making yet another appearance on the show. Let's say hello to our expert this week, the senior physical therapist with the Memorial Weight Loss and Wellness Center, part of Memorial Medical Center. It's Linda Cruz. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Ray. It's good to be with you again.
You got to be. Is it too hot for you to bike ride? Are you bike riding?
We are bike riding. You know what? This is one of the best time of the year to bike ride because the bike trails are shaded.
Linda, I don't care how hot it is, she's always out there on the bike. Good for you. Hey, we're going to be talking today about exercise and sustaining your exercise routine. You said, you know, always, and I know every time I talk to you, you're on the bike. You have certain times a year, you have a certain like a whole outline, a whole plan, and you follow it to the T. We're going to talk about how we sustain all that today.
Sure.
I'm looking forward to it. So let's talk, Linda, about why we have the best of intentions. Mm-hmm. Why we always go and say, oh man, I am going to follow this plan. I have got this thing all mapped out. I know what I'm going to do. And lo and behold, we get busy or life throws a curve at us or something happens. And the first thing we drop, is exercise.
We drop it by Wednesday, don't we? Yeah. We make that Monday. Yes, we make that resolution on Sunday and we drop it by Wednesday. It's hard. I think if I had to say one reason why people drop it right away, it's because they don't see the immediate benefit. You know, when I mow my yard, I feel great about mowing my yard because I look out there, it looks awesome, the grass is beautiful, everything's nice, neat, clean. Wow, I did the effort, I see the result from it. Exercise, it's a little bit different. It's a little bit like maintaining your car. You know, there's nothing really exciting about maintaining your car. Taking it for oil changes, you know, making sure the tires are rotated, all that kind of stuff. It costs money. It's inconvenient. It takes me out of my routine for the day. And you know what? I don't see the immediate benefit of that, do I?
So we work out. We work out really hard. Do you think? Then we look in the mirror and go, I look the same, except sweatier.
Exactly. I feel horrible.
Yeah.
Linda said I'd feel better.
Oh, my knees hurt. My back hurts. Oh, I'm having trouble. I'm having to catch my breath. She said I feel great. I feel horrible. And I look at myself in the mirror, and I look the same.
You know, my mother had a knee replacement several years back, and 2 weeks into it, she looked at me and said, Linda, you said I'd feel better. I said, Mom, I didn't say you'd feel better in 2 weeks.
I said
you'll feel better in 3 months, and lo and behold, she does. But exercise is a little bit like that. You do not feel better immediately, although you shouldn't hurt terribly afterwards. We don't want that either. So don't get the idea I'm preaching no pain, no gain, because I'm not.
Right.
We really don't want exercise to hurt. We want to figure out something for you that doesn't hurt. But you do have to kind of buy in for the long haul because you're not going to see just immediate results. And that's discouraging to a lot of people.
Do you know what I did? And I thought of you. I thought of you and I followed your advice. And you probably noticed I'm down a little bit from last time.
Yes, you are. Congratulations, because it's hard work.
I followed your advice. We were talking about my knees and the pain I had. You know what I did? I had a friend with a pool.
There you go.
And I've been going to the pool.
Yes.
And I'm dog paddling and swimming full, and I tried the butterfly stroke, almost drowned, but I tried it. You know what I mean? I'm walking in the pool, like just doing laps and stuff. It is amazing.
It is.
The workout I've been getting.
Yes. And you know, sometimes people fall into this all or nothing mentality. You know, in other words, if I can't get out there and do my whole darn routine, for me, it's if I can't ride 20 miles, then it's worthless for me to ride 8. But it's not worthless for me to ride 8 miles. You know, I get a lot of benefit from that. And so working out in the pool, some people would say, well, what you bothering with that for? That's not like going to the gym and lifting those weights and pounding the treadmill. But you know what? It's something rather than nothing, and over the long haul, it pays off a lot of benefits.
And when you have bad knees, it's amazing to do exercise when there's no pain.
Oh, it's wonderful in the pool.
I mean,
we recommend
don't get me wrong.
That a lot.
You know, the breath. I'll tell you what catches up. What catches up on me or catches me by surprise is, I'm in the pool. I'm doing, and all of a sudden it's like, and then I realize I'm out of breath.
Yes.
It's like it sort of sneaks up on you.
You know, my husband and I have been watching the Olympic swimming trials on TV, and it's amazing. You don't see an ounce of body fat on those people. Now, I realize they're elite athletes, but people don't realize what good exercise swimming can be. And one of the things you just mentioned, that cardiovascular, the breathlessness, that really means you're burning some significant calories.
It will sneak up on you.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're talking about those things, like what is it going to take? Like, I got to be honest, when it's nice and hot and you're in the pool, you're getting relief from the heat as well as getting a workout. The pool's a good thing.
Yes.
But there are those things that, there are those reasons why we always say, oh, it's too hot or it's too cold. Or,
well, you know, in central Illinois, we have about, 20 days a year when the weather's perfect.
Yeah.
Really, if we wait till perfect weather, we're never going to exercise outdoors. You know, so you really have to find reasons to kind of battle the elements a little bit and still get out there and do some things or make accommodations for it, one or the other.
Now, you'll bike no matter what, unless it's 100 degrees. But I mean, you'll bike no matter what. You make that part of your plan. There are so many people that give up. They say, you know what, I'm not going to do it, blah, blah, blah. And we started saying that a lot of it is that you don't get immediate satisfaction. And it's true. Listen, if I put a Hostess snack cake in my mouth,
right,
and I eat it and I go, oh my God, I'm completely satisfied that my sweet craving.
Good. Yeah.
And when I exercise, I don't get that. How do we trick ourselves what do we do? What little things are we looking for to make us feel like we're getting some type of results?
You know, we were just talking about if we wait till the day that we feel like exercising, it will never happen.
Yeah.
So I think one of the things that really works for me and for a lot of people is just know if I do it right, I'm going to feel better afterwards. I may not feel like getting off the couch, but if I do get off the couch and do 10 or 15 minutes or something, I'm going to feel better afterwards. So I guess my point here is that we have to focus on how we're going to feel 15 minutes from now, how we're going to feel a month from now, how we're going to feel 6 months from now. And I think that's one way that it helps you stay motivated.
Like those people that you know, they're able to work out well enough that the endorphins, all those things really get, you know, the body's just, when they're done, it just feels amazing.
They crave exercise.
Yeah.
In fact, you can become addicted to that feeling. You can become addicted to that exercise because it feels so good. But, you know, Ray, most of us aren't working out like that. Really, we're not. We're getting some benefit from general circulation, from clearing the cobwebs out of your brain through a fresh spurt of oxygen going up to your brain. But to actually work hard enough to get that endorphin high, I don't know that that happens to really a lot of people.
For me, and we sort of touched on this the last time you were in, but for me, I sort of made it like it's not really a physical. It's not a physical accomplishment for me. It becomes a mental one, to where like I got it scheduled, and you know that enjoyment you get when you have a list of things and you get to cross one off.
Yes, check them all off. Yes,
it's sort of like the same thing, but I feel like when I actually do something, like when I get off the couch and say, I'm going to go do this. I know I can't walk long on that treadmill, but I'm going to get on it.
Exactly.
And I don't care if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or maybe I'm not hurting and I get to do the full thing. Whatever it is, I'm going to do something. And when I get off, I feel like, you know what? I can check it off. I get to check that off my list.
You know, and then that becomes a powerful motivator for next time. You know, I did it. Now, do I really want that to go by the wayside and not build on that? No, I got started. I did something. So now let's keep that ball rolling in a real positive way.
I love it. Let's take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about, let's come up with more of those reasons that people give why they stop. And also, let's come up with making a plan to keep yourself, like, what are those things you can do to keep yourself exercising? What is it that you can do? Linda, you said that you kind of enjoy going through the trails and this time of year, and you get shade, and
right,
just being outdoors, how good it feels.
Right.
Let's talk about some of those things that people really enjoy about it, and what you won't experience if you don't exercise.
Correct.
We'll come at it from that angle when we come back. It's Ask the Expert right here on WTAX. It's Ask the Expert. Our expert, Linda Cruz, senior physical therapist with Memorial Weight Loss and Wellness Center, part of Memorial Medical Center. We're talking about exercising, as we always do, and Linda's here. And this time it's sustaining your exercise routine. Mm-hmm. So we were going over those reasons that we end up dropping exercise from our routine.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go down a list. What are those reasons again? What are we looking at?
Well, one, a lot of people don't sustain exercise because it hurts.
Oh, pain.
And I
yeah.
have a lot of yeah. people who come into my office and they say, Linda, I'm here because they told me I had to see you, but I can't exercise. And I say, why can't you exercise? Well, it hurts. Well, more often than not, Ray, when I start talking to people, I say, okay, well, what did you do? Well, the very first day, they went out and did a full workout and then couldn't get out of bed the next morning, okay? So hurting is something that if you will talk to one of us, talk to someone, we can help you figure out something to work through your pain. So that's one reason. If something hurts, I'm not going to do it. Another reason, I hear this a lot, and frankly, I hear it a lot from women. They say, Linda, I don't like to sweat.
Oh.
It makes me feel gross. I would like to walk on my lunch hour, but you know what? I can't go back to work and subject my coworkers to that. I just feel gross when I'm done. Therefore, I'm not going to exercise. Well, you know, I used to work home health. And so I was in my car most of every day, and many days I would end up in the park and I'd have 20 minutes or a half hour dead time, downtime. So I always had an extra shirt with me. I always had some little deodorant wipes. And you know what? If I had that opportunity to take a 20 or 30 minute walk, I went out and did it. Wiped myself down a little bit, put on a clean shirt, good to go for the afternoon.
Do they really think like, oh, I'm going to walk and my armpits are going to stink and I'm going to be all sweaty, my clothes are going to be wet?
They really think that.
Really?
I hear that every day. And this time of year, I hear it a couple times a day. So that's something really common. It just makes me feel gross. Another common complaint is people say, I'm ravenous after I get done exercising. And so after I exercise, I want to eat everything in sight. So that's a reason why I don't exercise, because I'm just going to eat it all back and I'm not going to gain anything for all that effort. And to combat that strategy, we have you work with our nutritionists, because if you're spreading your meals apart, eating smaller meals more frequently, and balancing your plate with a starch, a protein, and a fruit vegetable, carbohydrate, balancing your plate so that you're not starving to death, you should be able to exercise without being ravenous.
So if you're balanced beforehand,
yes,
then you won't get that sensation of I need to eat, need
exactly.
to eat.
Exactly.
Is there something that you can eat that will that could take that away, though? Is there?
You know, it's not one thing you can eat that will take it away. But protein is a little more slowly absorbed by the body, and then our complex carbohydrates. Now, I'm not talking simple sugars.
Right.
I'm talking things like yogurt and milk and, you know, some of those things that break down a little more slowly in the body, whole wheat pastas, whole grains, those kinds of things. They break down a little more slowly in the body, and then they will give us more long-lasting energy and more of a feeling of satiety to where you're not so starving hungry.
You know, back in the day when I was you know, really moving around a lot, I was playing basketball, and I'd get done with the first game, and you're starving. You know, and I'm not endorsing this or anything, because I don't know if I was right or not, But you know those little protein bars you can buy?
Sure.
And they don't taste, they're not horrible.
No.
They don't taste great.
Nope.
But they're not horrible. They're just sort of, you're just putting energy in your body.
Right.
And you eat like half of that, and if you're drinking water
right.
while eating it, I found myself completely full.
We actually recommend that a lot, but then the thing you have to remember is that not all protein bars are created equal.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't eat the ones that have the chocolate and all that stuff
right.
in it. This would be the stuff that I don't even know how to describe it. It would be like brown. It was a weird color. And
our nutritionists actually have a list of protein bars that have lower sugar content, higher protein content. They have more of the good stuff in them rather than just anything I can go and just buy off the shelf.
Yeah, I know. I've seen some of these protein bars before, and I've been offered some before. We're like, oh, have this. And I'll be like, man, that looks like a candy bar.
Exactly. And it probably is.
I'm like, if I eat that, that's just going to make me want to go buy a Snickers or something. I don't want to get that.
Right, right. So you need to be judicious about that and talk with someone who kind of knows what they're doing about those protein bars. But that's actually not a bad idea. Another thing we often recommend to people before you exercise is maybe some low-fat yogurt and a fruit. Because then you've got some protein in the yogurt, you've got a little bit of carbohydrate, then the fruit's got more of the instant energy that breaks down quickly. And then between the two of them, you've got a quick energy source and a longer term energy source. And then you don't come out of the thing feeling like you just want to eat everything in sight.
Hmm. That's a good idea. Maybe a little bit. Well, like what kind of fruit are you talking? Like something simple?
You know, a common thing that people do is like a bagel thing with some peanut butter.
Okay.
And then maybe a half a banana.
What about things like grapes, melons?
Yes. You know, fruits in general, what you have to watch for is the sugar content.
Right.
You know, grapes have a real high sugar content, so I'm not saying it's bad to eat them, but you just have to watch your portions on that. Maybe not have 30 grapes, maybe
right.
10.
What about melons? I mean, you've got the different, you got the cantaloupes, the watermelon.
Melon is an awful lot of water. It's an awful lot of water and not quite as much nutrition, but it's also got a lot of fiber, which helps in a lot of different ways. But it wouldn't be my first choice probably as something to keep me from being ravenous through exercise.
You're saying what? Apple, that type of
pear,
stuff, banana?
Peach, banana, strawberries, blueberries, those sorts of things.
A good things to choose from.
A little more dense. You know.
Can you put whipped cream on that?
Well, I do.
I would put a little whipped cream on that strawberries.
Well, there you go. That kind of defeats the purpose, right?
So now you can keep yourself from, if you have a little something, you won't, when you're done, you won't feel so hungry.
Exactly.
And if you eat beforehand, then you're safe, you know, then you're burning it off almost immediately.
Well, you need some of that. You need some of that instant energy. You know, we never recommend exercise on an empty stomach. You know, it's really important if you're diabetic. You don't want to start out with a low blood sugar and then take it lower through exercise. But it's really important for everyone to have a little bit of an instant energy before you start.
Yeah. A little quick boom.
You bet.
So let's talk about, so we're ready to exercise. Okay.
Yes.
Now we're like, okay, I'm going to do this. I got my plan. Let's come up with making a plan to do it. How do we go about structuring a plan to exercise?
Well, first off, don't go back to the thing you did when you were 17.
Oh, yeah, nonstop moving around, playing this, playing that.
Exactly. You know, a lot of people pick up where they left off, even though it's 20 years later. And I hear that commonly. I used to do this, this, and this, so that's what I knew to do, and that's where I started back at.
Do you get a lot of people lifting weights that they said, well, when I stopped lifting weights, I was doing a bench press of 315, so go ahead and knock 300 on there, you know what I mean?
You know what? I meet people who do that a lot, and I meet people who used to run track or cross country, and they said, I used to do a mile in such and no time, and, you know, I'm going to go back out and try to do that mile, and holy cow, I only got around the track once. So I think one thing is that you have to have reasonable expectations of our bodies. You know, we age a little bit every 5 years. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a decrease in performance, you know, about every 5 years. That's why you don't see many Major League Baseball players past the age of 40.
Yeah. That seems to be the cutoff age is around 38, 40 for professional athletes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Things kind of start to go and they kind of go in those 5 year increments. You peak and then you come down a little bit. And so I think one of the things about structuring an exercise program is start with reasonable expectations and stay within yourself. In other words, if something hurts, you don't push through and do it just because you were able to do that 5, 7, 10 years ago. You start low and slow and work it up.
So say, I'm going to start doing, don't sit there and say, oh, when I was a kid, I used to run 2 miles. I'd run 8 laps around the track, so I'm going to do that. No, be realistic and say, you know what? I'm looking to do 1 lap.
And I might walk it.
And if it feels good, then maybe I'll do a little bit more of a second one.
Exactly.
So be realistic in setting those goals, and you won't fail.
I have 3 words that I send a lot of people out of the office with. Low, slow, and consistent. Low meaning low impact. Don't go out and just punish your body by doing high impact stuff.
Because if you injure yourself, then you can't do anything for
a while. Then you're out of luck for the next 3 or 4 weeks. Then the next word is slow. In other words, if you used to run, maybe we start with walking. If you used to run fast, maybe we run a little bit slower. All right? So low, slow. But the most important of those 3 words is consistent. Because without consistency, nothing happens.
So do it as often as you're planning.
Exactly.
If you plan to do it 4 days a week, then do it 4 days a week.
Do it 4 days a week and be really consistent, because with consistency, then that gives us something to build on.
We're talking about exercise and sustaining it. Our expert, the always great Linda Cruz, is with me today on Ask the Expert. We'll come back with more right after the news.
You're back to Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX. Brought to you by Memorial Health System. Our phone lines are open at 753-1240. That's 753-1240. Now, Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM, WTAX.
And we are back with Ask the Expert. I'm your host, Ray Lytle, along with Linda Cruz. We are talking about exercising, sustaining your exercise routine. And we all have the best intentions. You know, we feel horrible. We wake up on a weekend and say, that's it. That's it. Monday, I'm doing it. I'm jumping right in. I'm going to start working out every day. I've got this. This is my plan. I'm ready to go. And as Linda said earlier, by Wednesday, we're like, I'm just going to hang out on the couch. So we're talking today. What do you do to sustain that exercise routine? So is part of the problem, Linda, that we're not making the right plan?
I think that's exactly part of the problem, because what you just said, Ray, I'm going to get out there, I'm going to do it every day. That's a recipe for failure right there. You know, I'm so sorry to tell you that. I really am.
You're going to be laying on the couch, and you're going to, if it was a cartoon, it'd be you laying on the couch going, that's it, I'm going to exercise. And Linda would be standing behind you going,
No, you're going to
fail. You need to make a better plan.
Yeah, you need to make a better plan. You know, what we like to tell people is, here's your long-term goal. And what we usually start people with is we tell them your long-term goal, what we'd like you to be in 3 months, is to be about 150 minutes a week. Now, that's not what you get off the couch and start with. That's what you work up to. So an exercise program, depending on your level of fitness, might be, let's walk 10 minutes once a day.
Right.
And if that goes well for 3 or 4 days, then let's add a second 5 to 7 minute walk. And then let's increase it to 10 minutes twice a day. And a gradual increase of your exercise, so that by 3 months out, you're at that 150 minutes a week. All right? But unfortunately, what most people do is they start with the 150 minutes a week. And then hurt, sore, still not seeing results that quickly. And it's just a recipe for being quickly discouraged.
I want to stress this, because the first time you were on, you discussed this, and there were people that emailed afterwards, and
right.
and you were saying that there is no such thing as saying, oh, I'm not going to exercise because I can't do enough of it. That doesn't exist. Any kind of movement at all
helps. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I had one fellow who walked away from my office and he said, Linda, that's too wimpy. He said, I came here for you to push me a little bit more. He said, that's just too wimpy. And I had started him, I think, with something like a 15-minute stationary bike ride and a 10-minute walk every day. Now, you have to remember, he told me he had awful knees. His low back hurt. Awful. So he said, I walked away, Linda, and he said, I just said, that Linda Cruz doesn't know what she's doing. I'm going to do whatever. And he said he exercised 45 minutes the first day. He said he got in 35 or 40 the second day. He said day three, he barely hobbled out of bed, and he said, I didn't exercise again.
Because he was too sore. He overdid it.
He overdid it. And the problem is you don't know that you've overdone it until a couple days later.
And that's the sad thing, yeah.
At the time, you feel fine. And then the delayed onset joint soreness, the delayed onset muscle soreness hits you. It peaks on about day three.
And what you're talking about attainable goals. You got attainable exercise.
Right.
Especially early on.
Right.
How important is that in the routine? I mean, is it one of the most important parts of it?
I think it's the most important part of it is to start low, start lower than you think you need to, and build on it. That is the most common mistake I see people make is starting too high and then hurting or becoming discouraged and they quit.
Like someone has horrible knees or back or just whatever they have.
Mm-hmm.
They have horrible sciatica or whatever. And they say, you know what, I get up, I get dressed, I get on the treadmill, it's 2 minutes. And I know I'm not doing anything. It's not even worth my time, so I'm just not going to do it. And you're saying that's incorrect.
That's incorrect. You know, it only takes 2 minutes for your blood to circulate fully one time from your heart to your toes, up to your lungs, your brain, and back again. 2 minutes is going to help thin your blood. It's going to help your circulation. And if you add those 2 minutes on over and over and over again, it can be powerful.
And if you're doing 2 minutes, like if it's 2 minutes a day, how many days, seriously, how many days before that becomes three, do you think?
You know, what I commonly see, and we do both medically supervised weight loss and we prepare people for bariatric surgery. And so sometimes we're starting with folks who are at a really low level of exercise. And so commonly, if I start somebody walking 2 minutes, three or four times a day, all right, short, three or four times a day, within a week, they can get up to 3 minutes. It's not unusual at all by 4 weeks to be up to 8 or 10 minutes. It's not unusual at all to be up to 20 minutes by 3 months.
And there are people that start exercise, there's no way I'll ever do 20 minutes. There's no way, it's impossible. I'll drop dead before I'll get to 20 minutes.
Three words, low, slow, and consistent.
And we can all get there. Everybody
can get there. You betcha.
And the body's pretty resilient, even bodies that have sore body parts, it's still pretty resilient.
You know, bodies are made to move.
Yeah.
And bodies like movement. They feel better with regular movement as long as you do the right kind of movement and not abuse yourself.
Now, a lot of exercise takes place outside.
Yes.
Lately, we've been going through this highs in the 90s thing.
It's been awful.
Is that affecting people who may be like, oh, I want to start exercising, but, you know, it's been 90-some-odd degrees out there, and I'm afraid, and blah, blah, blah.
And it's hard because there is more risk when you're out there exercising when it's hot, hot. But, you know, if there's a will, there's a way. I have one lady who has no gym membership, no access to any exercise equipment. God bless her. What she does is every night on her way home from work, she picks one of the West Side big box stores. She grabs a grocery cart and goes around and around and around in the air conditioning until she totals about 20 minutes.
So she's pushing the cart.
She is.
Lean against it if she needs to.
Yep.
And that's giving her exercise.
She's getting her heart rate up. She's losing weight nicely. And
she hasn't been arrested for loitering from the big box stores?
You know, she did tell me that she tries to buy something
when she needs it. Good. Just so they can know she's at least attempting to shop.
I don't want her to take advantage of anybody, but at the same time, I kind of admire her resourcefulness.
I doubt that they mind.
You know, and I used to work out at the Cokie Mill Medical Center on the west side of town, and winter and summer, we would get people who parked in the parking lot, come in, walk the bottom of Cokie Mill, maybe go up the stairs, walk the top, make circles around that thing. And employees did it, climate controlled, there you go.
To this day, there are millions of people in malls in America that do it every single day.
Absolutely. They're a community.
Yeah.
And they go have coffee when they're done, hopefully not an ice cream sundae.
Right.
You know, because then you know, you can't out-exercise a poor diet.
Right.
You really can't.
Yeah.
But yeah.
If you're eating good and you're moving, it's impossible to not get more healthy.
That is right. Even if you don't lose weight, you control blood sugar, you improve your muscle health, you improve your bone health, you lower risk for cancer. There's a ton of reasons to exercise besides weight loss. And there's a ton of benefits from exercise even before you start losing weight.
What? All right, so we're talking about summer. It's hot. What is it? Is it advantageous to do summer, or should we wait till fall, winter, what?
I don't think we should ever wait.
Okay.
I think when we get the motivation, I think we need to figure out a plan and just do it. You know, the Nelson Center is still open.
That's true, yeah. That's right.
Skating rink, you know, if hot's really a problem. You know, gyms are climate controlled. If you want, if you want to do that, in fact, the gym that we use is almost freezing cold. You know, there the swimming pool, like you mentioned,
the swimming pool is
great, just awesome.
It's been the best exercise for me this summer.
The bike trail. One reason I like biking is because it's shaded. One and two, you create your own breeze. You know, when you're biking, you really don't get extremely hot until you're finished. Then, boy, watch out, there's going to be a puddle in the floor. But, you know, while you're doing it, it's surprisingly temperature moderate. And then, of course, be sensible. First thing in the morning before the humidity's really high. In the evening when the sun's a little lower in the sky, you know, you can mitigate some of the effects of that heat.
Yeah, you see a lot of people doing it before work in the
summer.
Because it's not as, lately, it's still been hot in the morning, but it's not as hot as
it is
mid-afternoon.
It's not as miserable,
right. And right at 5 o'clock, it's not really that good either. They'll wait till like 6 or 7. That's when you'll see people finally start getting out there.
5 o'clock, you know, the concrete's been heated up all day. It hasn't released that yet. That's a tough time. I think between probably 2 and 7 is tough to exercise, and after that, it gets a little cooler.
Well, my wife will walk the dogs a lot, too. Mm-hmm. She likes to walk the dogs. And they're willing to walk as far as she wants to walk if it's a little cooler out than if it's if it's really hot. The dog goes, nope, not a long walk today. We're going home. So you don't want to battle that. You
they're
know, you
not
know.
Unlike us, are they?
No, they're very. Dogs are smarter. We give them credit for.
Yeah.
All right. So we're touching on all of it. We're doing how to sustain that exercising. We'll get back to it in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to Ask the Expert. On WTAX, my expert today is Linda Cruz, senior physical therapist with Memorial Weight Loss and Wellness Center, part of Memorial Medical Center. Back with more after these.
You're listening to Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM, WTAX.
We are back with Ask the Expert. Our expert's Linda Cruz. She's one of my favorites. I love talking exercise. You'd think I was a lot better at exercising the way I have these conversations with Linda. I love discussing it so much. We are talking about exercising and sustaining your exercising routine. She's also given you some tips on how to set that routine so that it's something that you succeed at and don't end up failing, because it seems with exercise, it's one of those things where if we fail, just even one day, if you fail, people have an excuse to quit. So when you set those attainable goals and you do those things that to where you keep having successes, you sort of take away the excuses.
And, you know, I think we have to plan that life is going to get in the way.
Yeah.
You know, life just does not always run smooth Sunday through Monday Sunday through Saturday that we're going to be able to do exactly what we planned. But you know what? Doing a little bit, if I can't do my whole routine, let me do some of it. That way I haven't skipped a whole day. I have people tell me if I skip one day, I'll skip three. So give me something I can do every day. And that's fine for some people. Other people do better if they do Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, do kind of an every other day thing and give my body a little chance to rest in between. We can make both those things work for you if we kind of know what appeals to you better.
Say you have a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday schedule or whatever.
Okay.
And you miss Tuesday.
Yes.
Do you just say, oh, heck with it, I'll just pick it up again tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Do you add Saturday, or do you add Friday, or do you skip it?
What we like to tell people is this is not just for weight loss, but this is in terms of blood sugar control and a lot of other things. you can exercise 5 days a week non-consecutive. So in other words, we don't want you to skip 2 days in a row. So if you have to skip Tuesday, fine. Pick it back up again on Wednesday, maybe add a Saturday or a Sunday. So you can work your exercise to where you do 5 days a week and not skip 2 days in a row and still get the benefits of blood sugar control, weight loss, all those things.
And you'll get because you're getting right back into it, you won't fall into that habit of
2 days become 3 days, then become 4, then become 5. Right.
So I always come at it from the angle of losing weight because that's, for me, that's what exercise is about. Mm-hmm. But there are plenty of people out there who have lost weight or are already in good shape. What's the difference between exercising to lose weight the way I'm doing or exercising to, you've already lost the weight, you're already in pretty good shape, to just maintain your health? What's the difference when it comes
you
to that?
You have to figure out, right now I'm into weight maintenance, trying to maintain my weight. So I pretty well know what my body needs exercise-wise. And to maintain weight, I can get by with 4 days a week, around 30 to 40 minutes. To lose weight, I've got to bump that up a little bit and exercise most days, skipping the occasional, and I have to be a little more vigorous about my exercise. So in general, once you reach a goal weight and you're trying to maintain it, you can kind of back your exercise down a little bit. And then at that point, you can also, if you do happen to eat a little bit more, maybe a family party, wedding, whatever, eat a little bit more, I can exercise a little bit more and work some of that off. That doesn't work so well when you're trying to lose weight.
So when you're, you've got to be more consistent when you're trying to, I guess you could be consistent with both. But
when you need to be more consistent and exercise at a higher heart rate when you're trying to lose weight.
All right.
When you're trying to maintain weight, you can do a few less days a week. Or maybe you're a person who needs to exercise every day, but you can back it down to a 15, 20-minute brisk walk as opposed to a 30 or 40-minute
walk or
bike ride.
When you're trying to lose it.
Exactly.
So, all right, how long does it take before before we have to know to change our exercise? Like if you're trying to lose weight, like first 20 pounds you lose, or the first, I don't know, maybe we just go by percentage, like the first 5% that you, when does it change?
In general, if we say if you have a BMI that's say 40, 45, around in that range, the first 20 to 25 pounds are going to come off fairly quickly. And then we usually need to make an adjustment to the exercise. So when you go from a BMI, say, of 42 to 45 down to a BMI of 37, 38, then you're probably going to need to bump your exercise intensity a little bit or change exercises so that your body doesn't get into just that stagnant routine.
Is that why, you know, professional athletes are they have their body, I mean, their body index is
low.
We said Shaquille O'Neal used to have like 4% body fat.
Yes,
or something. I mean,
Michael Jordan.
Yeah, Michael Jordan was. Yeah. I mean, he was almost perfect.
Right.
So these guys have these bodies, but then when they retire, even though they've had this professional level of work, and they still work out, but even though they're working out, they do, you can tell that they do gain weight. Is that just because the level that they were doing was so great?
Right. The level they were doing was extremely high. We watched the Tour de France, and those riders will lose 20 pounds
over the 2 weeks or whatever.
Right, of that 3 weeks of the race.
Yeah.
And so part of it's that you're just not working with the intensity. Part of it, frankly, is just getting older. When we get older, we tend to lose a little bit of muscle mass, even if you're working out all the time. You can't completely combat the effects of aging, and it's a little easier for the body to store fatty tissue and give up muscle tissue. So that's part of it. And part of it's just, you know, they don't have to have that discipline.
Yeah.
You know, their body is their paycheck. Yes.
And by the way, and if you saw Michael Jordan, and by no means is he not in shape.
Oh, no.
The guy's still in good shape.
Yes.
He just, He just is not in the shape, game playing shape. Well, listen, Linda, that's going to wrap it up.
All right. Well, it's been fun.
Final words. You got about 10 seconds. Final words that everybody needs to hear.
Just get out there and do it. And if you can't do everything you think you ought to be doing, do something. And
slow.
And consistent.
And consistent. I love it. Linda Cruz with Memorial, thank you for being our expert today.
Thank you.
This has been Ask the Expert.
Bye-bye.
On News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX. Brought to you by Memorial Health System. For more information about Memorial Health System, visit choosememorial.org. And join us every Tuesday at 3 for Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX. Can't get enough.